بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. The 63rd major sin is al-amn min makrillah, feeling secure from the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the plot, if you will, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. Many of the major sins, or when you think about major sins, we often think about those only in terms of things that you do. Meaning, did you drink? Did you do zina? It's like a physical act. But some of the major sins, for example, what we see over here, have nothing to do with what you do. They have to do with your emotions inside. And this is one example of that. And when a person is working to remove the scourge or the stain of sin of their life, it's not just removing physical deeds. And this is one of the delusions that shaitan gets people into, because they look at their life and they don't see themselves doing physical things which are wrong. They're not stealing, they're not murdering, they're not doing, you know, riba. And so they feel that all the major sins are out of their life. But there's a whole category of things which are not tangible that we also have to work on, meaning we have to work on what's inside of us as well. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكْرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. That they plot and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plots, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of plotters. And this is just an aside, but you know, Orientalists, they like to take these type of verses and try to use it to misguide the Muslims. To say, oh, look at your God, he actually plots. He is, you know, he's trying to trick you. Right? They take makar and they try to put it in the light of that he's a trickster. Wal-ayyadu billah. That he's tricking you and he's not really real. And I just think about it and I say, where does people's intellect go? If I really wanted to trick someone, would I actually write it? Hey guys, guess what? I'm trying to trick you. The point of a trick is that you trick them without them knowing. Why would you tell someone that, oh look, I'm trying to trick you, don't believe in me, and be careful for me? It just doesn't make sense. When these type of things are attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't refer to trickery. So for example, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا, when they deviated, أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deviated their hearts. When they did it, it was out of ta'addi, meaning when they did it, it was sinful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's action was in response to that, and his action was for the establishment of justice. So when it occurs from the side of the slave, ابتداءً, meaning initially, that's the thing that's wrong. And when something is done in response to that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side, that's not wrong, it's actually the dictate of justice. It's similar to, for example, when there's a child, if they did something wrong, and then they got one from their father. And he says, oh Baba, you're such a zalim, you hit me. Look at the context. Right? If the kid hits the father, and the father does it bad for discipline, you say, you hit me out of your zulm, you hit me out of rebellion. I'm hitting you out of your tarbiyah. And there's a, even on the surface, the same thing looks, the action looks like the same. And you could say that he hit and the father hit. But there's a world of a difference between the two hittings. The same thing applies over here. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. It comes in one verse of the Quran. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا. That until they became happy with that which they were given. Allah gives them so many gifts, that they get exultant. They get high, Right? They're so happy, they're so happy, they think their life is just amazing. أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. Then all of a sudden Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them. All of a sudden the person loses their iman. All of a sudden their whole life comes crashing down like a house of cards. So about this, قال الحسن يعني حسن البصري رحمه الله from the تابعين من وسع الله عليه فلم يرى أنه يمكر به فلا رأي له. So that person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands upon them, things are going good, life is good, and he doesn't see Allahu yamkuru bihi, he doesn't see the possibility that perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just plotting for him. And what this plotting means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on occasion with certain individuals will give people so that they can increase in sin, so that they can increase themselves in punishment in the Akhirah. He's not giving it to them because he likes them. He doesn't give the pop star a lot of dunya because he likes them. He doesn't give the actress a lot of fame because he likes her. He doesn't give the, you know, the billionaire a lot of wealth because he necessarily likes them. He doesn't give the hedgehog nice cars and Ferraris because he likes him. It's not about that. He says, you really want to disobey me? Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll see you. And this is like, it's the most amazing quote unquote plot. Because this person is delusional and they say, oh my God, God must love me so much. And so they keep on increasing in disobedience. It's like giving a person a long rope so they can really hang themselves well. لا يحسبن الذين كفروا إنما نملي لهم خير لأنفسهم. Don't think that the person that we give them a little bit of time, that is good for you. The guy who picked on you, the bully who picked on you in grade school and he got away with it, don't think it's good for him. The person who gives you a hard time and does zulm on you, don't think it's good for them. The people who are killing our Muslim brothers and sisters and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quote unquote is not doing something to them, don't think it's good for them. And they're still enjoying in their palaces and they're enjoying their wine and they're lost in their merriment. It's not good for them. خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُ إِثْمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just wants them to increase in sin. Go ahead, murder some more people. Go ahead, rape some other people. Just you wait, I'm coming. I'll take you. And when Allah takes, there's no one to stop. When Allah takes, your atomic bomb is nothing. Your Apache helicopters are nothing. Your hydrogen bombs are nothing. Who will prevent you from Allah? مَا لَهُمْ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. وَقَالَ مَكْرَ بِالْقَوْمِ وَرَبُّ الْكَعْبَةِ وَأُطُوا حَاجَتَهُمْ ثُمَّ أُخِذُوا. Then he read the ayah above and he says these people are put in devising as they got all what they need and then taken suddenly. عن أقبى بن عامر رضي الله تعالى أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا رأيت الله يعطي العبد ما يحب وهو مقيم على معصيته فإنما ذلك من استدراج. ثم قرأ فلما نسوا ما ذكروا به فتحنا عليهم أبواب كل شيء حتى إذا فرحوا بما أوتوا أخذناهم بغتة أوتوا أخذناهم بغتة فإذا هم مبلسون. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that when you see a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the criterion, because how you know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just giving it to you as a gift, or how you know when it's not really good for you? He said, when you see a person getting everything he wants, وَهُوَ مُقِيمٌ عَلَى مَعْصِيَتِي, and they remain firm on their disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They get these gifts, and they become more and more ghafil from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They get these gifts, and they draw farther and farther away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it doesn't always have to be so crass. You can take this at many different levels. Say a person is struggling, and in their struggle they're making constant dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then those doors open. And then they find themselves getting caught up in different things in the dunya. They're caught up in their shop, they're caught up in their business, they're caught up in their stocks, they're caught up in this, and they don't find time for reading Qur'an anymore. they don't find time for zikr anymore. And they say, oh my God, I'm such in such a good state. But they don't realize that what they left was better than what they got. And then Rasulullah says, and then he read this ayah. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِرُ بِهِ, when they forgot that which they had been reminded, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up this something. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she used to make the dua, يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ وَكَانَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُكْثِرُ أَنْ يَقُولَ, he used to so frequently say, يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ ثَبِّتْ قُلُوبَنَا عَلَى دِينِكَ, O flipper of the hearts, because the heart of the slave is between the two fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he can flip it any time he wants. ثَبِّتْ قُلُوبَنَا عَلَى دِينِكَ, then please establish our heart on the deen. Oh, it's actually here in the same riwayah. فَقِيلَ لَهُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَتَخَافُ عَلَيْنَا, so it was said to him, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, you actually worried about us? You're a sahaba. We're the lovers of Allah. We could be doubtful about anything, but the fact that we would leave Allah and leave the deen is unthinkable. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ سَلَّمْ إِنَّ الْقُلُوبَ بَيْنَ إِسْبَعَيْنِ مِنْ أَصَابِيَ الرَّحْمَنِ يُقَلِّبُهَا كَيْفُ يَشَاءُ, indeed the hearts are between the two fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Ar-Rahman. And it's interesting that this word is used from all the other words. يُقَلِّبُهَا كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ, he can turn it however he wants. And he doesn't, because that's his rahmah. You see the usage of Ar-Rahman, he could have used any word, he could have used between the two fingers of Allah, but that's not what he used. He said the two fingers of Ar-Rahman, because it's only his rahmah that keeps us on Sabbat. If he wants, he can take the wali and make him a sinner, وَلَا يُبَالِي, and he wouldn't care. Doesn't matter. He's not in need of our salah. He's not in our need of our sadaqah. He's not in need of our tahajjud. He's not in need of our zikr. Believe you me, it makes no difference. If you were to take every single person and put them into Jahannam, it would not hurt him, because he's above that. And if you were to take every single person and you were to put them into Jannah, it would not increase his majesty. He's so ghani. And that's part of what it means of not falling into this idea that we're so important to Allah, this so self-importance, that as if Allah needs us, as if the deen needs us. One time I was called into my teacher's, I went into my teacher's office, and he had asked me, and I've told the story before, I'm not going to say the whole story, but he asked me, why are you doing medicine? My Islamic teacher, right? When I was studying initial stages of Arabic and some of the Islamic sciences, because there was no one who was becoming ulama at that time. So he said, why are you studying this? So I thought I had this down, because I had all these niyats made up. I said, oh, you know, I'm going to use my respect for the deen of Islam. And he said, Islam doesn't need your respect. I said, oh, you know, I'll have money, inshallah, and I'll use it for the deen. And people who care about Islam, sometimes they think that I need to become a doctor for the deen. Islam doesn't need your $100 or your $100,000. Right? Islam is powered by Allah, who owns everything in the world. If he wants, in a moment he makes it happen. And you know, Sheikh Saad Qadri, I remember one time, before he after a certain level of spiritual purification, it changes the way a person thinks about these things. So he said that, there used to be a time, and he used to be on the Minna circuit, some of the people here from MMYC, they know that people would just come to hear him. You're these superstar speakers. So he said that there used to be a time when you used to feel that we're doing a favor to the deen. We're helping the deen, that we're doing khidmah of the deen. And later on you just realize that we ourselves are the reason that we're in this state. Right? That I'm the speaker. I used to think that I was, basically a boon to the deen. And now I realize that I'm the reason that the ummah is in the state that it's in. It's my sins that, have earned the blood of Chechnya. It's my sins which have earned the blood of Sham. You know, it's this type of attitude of understanding that of lack of self-importance. Lack of self-importance. There's the story of a, I wonder if they have it here in the Arabic. There's two stories in this section which would, they're instructive. العربي وروى أنه كان رجل بمصر ملتزم المسجد للأذان والصلاة. There used to be a person in Egypt who used to stay right next to the masjid for and used to give the adhan and used to stay there for salah. وعليه بهاء العبادة وأنوار الطاعة. And he had the light of ibadah and the lights of obedience upon him. فرق يوما المنارة على عادته للأذان. So he got up on one day and he climbed the minar, as was his habit to give the adhan. وكان تحت المنار دارا وكان تحت المنار دار لنصراني ذمي لنصراني ذمي فطلع فيها فرأى ابنة صاحب الدار. So he looked and underneath the minar, and there used to be a house of a Zimmi, a Christian person. So when he looked there, he saw that there was the daughter of the person who owned the house. وَكَانَتْ جَمِيلَ and she was beautiful. فَفْتُتِنَا بِهَا وَتَرَكَ الْأَذَانِ وَنَزَلَ إِلَيْهَا. So he forgot giving the adhan and he went and saw the girl. فَقَالَتْ لَهُ مَا شَأْنُكِ وَمَا تُرِيدْ. She said, what's the deal with you? What do you want? فقال, so he said, أنت أريد, is you I want. She said, what do you want? He said, أنت أريد. He says, أنت أريد, it's you that I want. قالت, لا أجيبك إلى ريبة. فقال لها, أتزوجك. And so he said that I wanted to marry you. قالت له, أنت مسلم وأبي لا يزوجني بك. He said, you're a Muslim. My father won't marry me to you. قال أتنصر. He said, I'll become Christian. قالت له, إن فعلت أفعل. She said, if you do it, then I'll marry you. No problem. فتنصر ليتزوج بها وأقام معهم في الدار. So he became Nasrani and he lived in their house. فلما كان في أثناء ذلك اليوم رق إلى سطح كان في الدار فسقط فمات. So that same day, he got up on the roof. The same day that he was living in the roof, he got up on the roof, he fell and he died. That was the end. And there's the other story that you know, many of you would have heard before. Let's see if I should have looked it up before. So perhaps we, in the interest of time, because we have so many things, we won't change the story. But the very famous story of the sheikh who had memorized so many hadiths, who had memorized so many and he was Hafiz of the Quran, that he had passed by away with all his murids, all his students, and he sees this beautiful Nasrani woman, and he just completely forgets his Quran. He just completely falls in love with her. And he basically becomes a pig keeper, right, in the mud, and he becomes a Christian. And his students are distraught, and eventually he comes back into the deen. But it just shows that Allah is not in need of anyone. This is what it means. This is the underlying take-home message. That we're not, it's Allah's rahmah that keeps Him connected to us, not that our entitlement to Allah. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is samad, what understanding of that word, as-samad, is that person who everyone is in need of. I mean, we translate it as independent, but the idea is, He's independent in the sense that everyone is in need of Him, and He is in need of no one, and yet He comes after you all the same. That's what it means to be Samad. He doesn't need to let us be Muslim. He doesn't need to let us come to the masjid. He doesn't need to let us get up for tahajjud. He doesn't need to let us look at the Quran. None of these are our birthright. It is in His purview, Allah Azza wa Jal, to give, and it is in His purview to take. And so no one can be more ghani than his ghina. Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara wallahu ghaniyyun hamid. There's several verses that talk about how ghani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And when a person sometimes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so ghani, and that sometimes when he's, when you just sort of really get fed up with someone, and you're like, I'm done with you. There are some people who push Allah that far. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَهُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِ. Know that there are some people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will stand between a person and their heart. That person can never change. That person will never change. The beautiful part and the latif part is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a circumstance when that person becomes so full of themselves that they feel that they're on the right in what they're doing. You look at these people who are full of themselves, who are these, evolutionary biologists, these atheists, they're so full of themselves. They feel like, you see how they write about religionists, and they see these people, stop believing in fairy tales, and they feel so confident. These are the people, وَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَهُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِ. Don't get swayed away by them. Don't get swayed away by their confidence. Don't get swayed away by their arguments. Don't get swayed away by the fact that they're so sure that there's no God. Because that's the person that Allah is standing between him and his heart. You'll never see it. It's not about logic. It's not about logic. Look at the lives that they've led. Look at the hubris that they had. Look at the pride. And you might say, I look at some of them, they're not doing anything haram. They're not doing anything haram. You don't see the kibr they had. I've said it before that I've never met a humble atheist. This kibr that comes in the heart, Allah hates it. So then he says, fine, you live with your kibr as an atheist. I'll see. And you'll see. Those people, they never turn around. There's another place, it says, وقالت عائشة رضي الله تعالى كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يكثر أن يقول يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على طائتك. Ya Allah, who is the changes of the heart, establish my heart on your obedience. فقلت يا رسول الله إنك تكثر أن تدعو بهذا فهل تخشى. She said, Ya Rasulullah, you make this dua so much, are you really scared? قال وما يؤمنني يا عائشة. He said, Ya Aisha, what's going to make me feel secure? وقلوب العباد بين إصبعين من أصابع الرحمن يقلبها كيف يشاء إذا أراد أن يقلب قلب عبد قلبه. When he wants to flip it, he'll flip it. There was a person who was an alim when we were in South Africa. I guess we were told not to tell these stories because it makes people like have less waqar for the ulama, but in this crowd it's appropriate because people understand what the position of the ulama is. But there was a person who had studied in our madrasa, but he got out of madrasa. Imagine, he studied the whole course. He studied, Qala Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam day and night. He studied Hidayah. He studied Mishkat. He studied Nurul Anwar. He studied, kitab after kitab. He studied Bukhari. He studied Muslim. He studied Dawood. He studied Jalalain. He finished the whole thing. He got out, and he ended up shaving his beard, shacking up in South Africa with some white girl. And he was just living. That was his life. There was two alimas. They were alimas. They got out of madrasa. Both of them became murtad. Forget about sinning. They left the deen. It's not like they didn't know. The difficult part about that is that not that they left the deen, it's actually Allah just let them go. So, we haven't memorized the Quran. We're not some big ulama. We're nothing. Why are we so important to Allah that he couldn't? That's why a person will do from the amal of the people of Jannah until they're just, so close to Jannah, and they'll do an amal of the people of the Nar, and they will fall into it. their qadr will come over them, Allah's mashiach will come over them. They do that and then they're gone. And a person will do an amal of the people of Jahannam until they're even so close, like a strap away from Jannah, from Jahannam. And then they'll do an action from the people of the paradise, and they'll enter into paradise. They'll die on that. And this qadr is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forcing, it's a foreknowledge of Allah that no one can escape. One time I was with Shaykh Zulfiqar in the Haram, and I asked him this question. I might have shared this before, but I asked him this question, is that, Ya Allah, I mean, I said, Hazrat, you know, sometimes when if a person has wilayah, and a person has closeness to Allah, and they feel so comfortable because Allah's always so haleem with him and so raheem with them. And the fact of the matter is, this doesn't apply only to the wali, it applies to every mu'min, because every mu'min has a certain level of wilayah. It's called wilayati amma. So, but then they feel, فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, that they spend so long in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so long being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so long in the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they feel comfortable that, you know, that they're never going to lose Allah. So they don't do so much zikr anymore, they don't do so much tahajjud, they're just enjoying the relationship. Right? They're just, it's like a person works very, 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 very hard, and they eventually become a tenured professor. The tenured professor, you can't get fired. It's very, I mean, you're done. So when you achieve tenure, so people do achieve tenure in the deen. So when the question I asked him is that, what if when a person achieves tenure, then what keeps you going? And actually, now I look at it, this is what keeps you going. Because it's actually a major sin to think that you're completely tenured. That's aman min makrillah. So then when I said that, he said that, if you just think about these two verses, it will take care of it. He said, who is more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses him. لَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْدَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ, if you make, لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ وَلَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينِ. Basically that if he makes some discourse and forges it on us, لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينُ, grab him by his hand. ثُمَّ لَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينُ, and we'll cut his aorta. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his Mahbub. And he basically said, where do you stand? Where does, I mean, not me, but like basically, where would any person stand? And then he said the second verse, لَوْلَا أَن ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِتَّ تَرْكَنُ إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا, that if we didn't give you istiqamah, if we didn't give you sabat, if we didn't give you some type of firmness, لَقَدْ كِتَّ تَرْكَنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا, it was as if you would begin to incline to them just a little bit. ثُمَّ أَذَقْنَاكَ ضِعْفَ الْمَمَاتِ لَوْلَا أَنْ ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِتَّ تَرْكَنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا ثُمَّ إِذَا لَأَذَقْنَاكَ ضِعْفَ الْحَيَاةِ وَضِعْفَ الْمَمَاتِ ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ عَلَيْنَا نَصِيرًا. Then we would make, إِذَا لَأَذَقْنَاكَ, that we would really make you taste ضِعْفَ الْحَيَاةِ وَضِعْفَ, such an azab, ضِعْفَ الْحَيَاةِ وَضِعْفَ الْمَمَاتِ, then you're not going to ask, find anyone to help you against us. He said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can, he said, when, if you really understood these verses, it would make this idea just fly away from you. You can never fall into this. So how do we grapple with this? How do we grapple with this idea practically? A person should always be swinging between hope and fear. You can't become so fearful, you can't become so hopeful that you feel, oh, you know, I'll always be a Muslim. None of us should feel secure that we will die Muslim, because we don't know. We just don't know. There are people better than us, there are people better than us, who live better than us, who died in kufr. And there are people who are worse than us who died with Islam. So our present state says nothing. So we should have that. We can't be overly confident, but we shouldn't be overly fearful as well. So the ulama have said that when you're young, you should have a ghalaba of fear, and when you're old, have a ghalaba of hope. that, oh, Allah will forgive me and keep a good zan with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jalla. The second thing is that we should realize that He is the door. Our good deeds, our piety, quote unquote, anything that we have, this is all coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should realize that and then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it and then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for more. We ask Him for His hidayah. When we say ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, let's say it like we mean it. A person will ask, why do I say ihdina sirat al-mustaqim if I already have hidayah? I'm already a Muslim. What do I need hidayah? One type of hidayah is hidayah ibtida, and hidayah that goes from, you know, complete dalala into Islam. And another type of hidayah is a person to make their feet firm on this path. That's also considered hidayah. So we're actually asking for istiqamah. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Hidayah, istiqamah in our azkar, istiqamah in our iman, istiqamah in our ihsan, istiqamah on our Islam. So that was the 63rd sin.